Glory. Matthew chapter 12 in the precious holy written word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about miracles around here for the rest of the year. We've been at it for how long now? Since the end of April. Amen. Hallelujah. We're coming up on 1 year at the Holiday Inn too, aren't we? We've already passed it. No, I'm saying we're coming up on 2 meetings a week for a year now at the end of this month, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. Amen. That just came into my heart, so I said it. Well, at the end of June, we've been holding 2 services a week. Is that correct? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You're there in Matthew chapter 12. We're talking about miracles. That's only the second warning. We're not going there just yet. You know that. Amen. We go on the third time. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been talking about miracles. We saw from the Bible in Isaiah chapter 8:18 that we are created, that the children of God are created, birthed into this earth for what? Signs, wonders, and miracles, Isaiah said. Amen. And we saw that as we started out this series with Created for Miracles Part 1 and 2. The CD's on the table. Amen. We've covered a lot of territory, haven't we? We've talked about miracles and faithfulness. I continue to emphasize to you that it's faithfulness and obedience alone that set the stage for the miraculous for believers here on planet Earth. Faithfulness and obedience alone. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 that even Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus had to discipline himself in order to walk in the miraculous. Amen. Faithfulness and obedience always set the stage for the supernatural. Amen. We have that message called Miracles and Faithfulness. And it went right onto the greatest hits list, didn't it? At least with the faithful, it did. With the faithless, it's another story. Amen. Hallelujah. We talked about miracles and derailment. And we saw that every kingpin of the Bible started out on God's list of losers. Amen? We saw Jonah. We saw David. We saw Moses. We saw Peter. We saw them make the... And we saw Abraham make the most horrendous mistakes. Yet even still, God in His goodness got glory out of all their mistakes and will continue to get glory out of their mistakes all through eternity. And that... The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, those examples I gave you from the Bible were written for our encouragement, our admonition, to build us up, to give us hope. Amen? God's not concerned with how often we fall. He's concerned with how often you're going to get up and keep moving forward. The Bible says, though you may stumble, you'll not be cast headlong. Barbara and I call it falling forward. At least when we fall forward. Amen. And we get up. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Amen. And God will find a way to glorify Himself through your mistakes, if only you believe Him to do exactly. We saw that from the Bible. Amen. And then we talked about miracles, human weakness last Sunday. That was a barn burner, whether you know it or not. Amen. We saw that God, thank you, Helen. Right. Amen. We saw that God calls us to the area of our greatest weakness, not to the areas of our strength. That no flesh can glory in His presence. He calls the foolish, the weak, the base, and the despised. Can you hear me, Jane? That no flesh can glory in His presence. Amen. We took you, we showed you in Galatians chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4 and where else did we take it? Philippians chapter 3. And we showed you that the Apostle Paul was called to the area of his greatest weaknesses. He was the most qualified man to teach the educated Jews of his day. And God said, nice resume, go to the Gentiles. We saw that Peter in Acts chapter 4 was an ignorant, unlearned man. He was intimidated by scribes and Pharisees. Intimidated by doctors of the law. Intimidated by educated Jews. He was a scruffy, fish-stinking, rock-throwing, name-calling dirtball. Remember that term when you were a kid? Grubby, intimidated by educated Jews, and God looked at Peter's resume and he said, you are possibly the most qualified person to minister to the scruffy, fish-stinking, uneducated, fearful Gentiles. You are intimidated by educated Jews. They're the area of your greatest weakness. You go. You go and you teach the educated Jews. And he did it too, didn't he? Amen? The Petrine epistles are the most powerful things you can read to grow during times of suffering, persecution, and hardship for the word's sake. Amen? God calls us to the area of our greatest weaknesses. Amen? He looked at me, 118 pounds, I'm guessing, 27, 28 years ago now, addicted to drugs and alcohol, fingernails bitten and bloodied, full of hatred and fear, addicted to drugs and alcohol, intimidated, couldn't even bear talking to people one-on-one. He looked down from heaven and he said, look, Jesus, here's another one. There's another one that can't steal our glory. Amen? Raise him up. Put him in the pulpit. Give him a necktie. Teach him the word. He'll do just fine. How am I doing? Hallelujah. 3 days slain in the spirit in my living room, 14 Sunnyside Road, Woburn, Massachusetts, 01801. Amen? 3 days. The hand of God, the hand of that angel touched my head 3 times. I went out under the power of God and I laid in my living room for 3 days. I didn't dream. I didn't eat. I didn't make pit stops. I didn't get up. I didn't change positions. I just lay there. I don't believe I was breathing for those 3 days. I don't believe that. Somebody said, I don't care what you believe. I'm not giving your testimony. I'm giving mine. Amen. Maria Woodworth Edda did not breathe for 3 days when she stood in that tent in St. Louis, Missouri, frozen in place in the middle of her sermon. 20,000 people filed by, took pictures that St. Louis newspapers coveted. You can go read it on the internet. She wasn't breathing for 3 days standing there. That's biblical. I found that out later. That's what happened to me. And when I came to, I was a brand new creation in Christ. Amen. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are new and all things are good. I wasn't afraid anymore. I was free from drugs. I was free from alcohol. I was free from hatred. I was free from unbelief. I was free from fear. I was free from unforgiveness. I was free. And I've been free for 27 years. Now, earlier on when I was a baby, I thought you were going to talk about angels. I am. It was an angel that came into my living room and touched my head those 3 times with the most massive hand. That one angel's hand was this big on my head, as big as my 2 hands. Bigger! And something like hot liquid love flowed out of that angel's giant hand into my body. Knocked me out cold for 3. I was slain in the spirit. Amen? I am talking about angels. Amen? That's an angel that did that to me, that did that for me. Amen? Hallelujah. And earlier on, the devil did try to tempt me with drugs and alcohol. Of course he did. It's his job. Amen? And I just learned to tell him, I'm rubber. You're glue. It bounces off me, sticks back on you. I'm God's free man. I've been free for 27 years. Amen? Look right here. We're going to talk about miracles and angels today. Amen? And I give God the glory for that. Amen? Hallelujah. I was the one who got addicted to drugs. I'm not boasting here. God's the one who set me free. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12. We're going to talk about miracles and angels. But we're going to run through some verses here. We're going to look at them together. We're doing all right here for time. Amen? Look what Jesus said in verse 34, if you would, please. Jesus said, O generation of vipers, speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees present who were unregenerate. They weren't saved. He's not calling you a viper. Amen? He said, O generation of snake faces, how can you, being evil or unregenerate, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Okay, now, he's about to contrast two kinds of men, two kinds of women here. Amen? A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. He's talking about bringing forth things into your life through the words of your mouth. But I say unto you, who's doing the talking here? I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Amen. Now these are Jesus' words. Amen. He said, we will give account for every idle word that we speak in this earth. And I want to tell you what that word idle means in the original Greek. It means inoperative, and you'll want to write that down, and non-productive toward the kingdom. We will give account for every inoperative, non-productive word ever spoken against ourselves or the body of Christ in our lives, not only in this earth. Are we being judged by the words that we speak on a daily basis? But we will stand before the Bema judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:8 through 10, and we will spend eternity based upon how effectively we operated kingdom principles during our probation period on this earth through the words of our mouths. Pastor, are you a name it and a claim it? I am a name it and a claim it because my big brother and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, is the original name it and claim it. I tell you all the time, I'd rather be a name it and claim it than to doubt it and live without it. Amen? These are the words of Jesus. You don't want to say things like, are you a name it and a claim it? That is disrespectful to the Spirit of the living God. These are principles introduced to the human race by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And to speak against these words is to speak against Jesus. Amen? Idle means non-working, non-productive, and inoperative towards the kingdom. Jesus placed tremendous importance on the words that come out of our mouths because our words set kingdom principles into operation, either for us or against us. He said it, not me, so there. Go over there, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16. Amen? We don't want to cause kingdom principles to remain idle and inoperative on our behalf, do we? Look at Matthew chapter 16. Everybody knows that in the Scripture, keys are symbolic of authority. Amen? They can get you into places, they can get you out of places. Amen? You got a key that nobody else has, you can get into places nobody else can get into. Jesus said right here in Matthew chapter 16:19, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, symbolic of authority. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, you're reading verse 19 with me, shall be loosed in heaven. Amen? Notice the power of binding and loosing is on earth, not in heaven. It's within man's jurisdiction to bind and loose on the earth, not God's. Jesus said, whatever you bind or will not permit on the earth, the Father and I will back you up from heaven. And whatever you will, did I say bind? And whatever you will loose or allow on earth, through the words of your mouth, the Father and I will back you up from heaven. Amen? Today I'm going to apply this principle to the ministry of angels. Amen? If we choose to loose the angels of God on our behalf as a conscious act of our own free human will, all of heaven will stand behind us. But we have to do it. God leaves it up to us to do it. Amen? And we have the right to do so. Hebrews 1:14, we'll look at it later on down the road here this morning, says that the angels of God are ministering spirits, sent forth to minister on behalf of those who shall be or who are heirs of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation in Christ today? Then the angels of God, in Hebrews 1:14, the Bible says, have been sent forth to minister on your behalf as an heir of salvation. That's a good report. Psalm 103:20 and 21, I'll get you in the neighborhood, you'll have to check the address, says that the angels of God hearken to the voice of God's word in the earth. Now I'm going to do it again. Look right up here. I'm listening. Quietly, I'm trying to hear. Helen, do you hear anything coming out of here? Nothing. Who gives voice to God's word in the earth? We just read Jesus say in Matthew 12 and 16 that we do. It's up to us to give voice to the word of God. They hearken to the voice of God's word in the earth. Or it's up to us to commission the angels to go and perform the will of God on our behalf. If we don't do it, they're pretty much going to just stand around idle with their arms crossed looking at you like, what a sorry sight. And just because I'm looking at John, target him often, don't I? Doesn't mean I'm talking to him. Amen? Look at John chapter 6. We have the right, as you're turning over there, to commission the angels of God. Amen? But we can also bind them or cause them to become idle and inoperative with just a few words of doubt and unbelief. Did you hear that? We can commission them to go forth and perform the will of God on our behalf, or we can cause them, as you go to John chapter 6, we can bind them and cause them to become idle and inoperative on our behalf through just a few words of doubt and unbelief. The angels of God will do as we say. Amen? And if you don't tell them to do something, they won't do it. And if you talk to your children, and you stand at the screen door and you scream out at your children as a believer and you say, take that ball and get in the backyard. If it runs out in the street, you're going to run behind and get killed by a car. The angels of God are going to allow what you allow. You said it. They won't do it, but they'll allow it because you'll allow it. Jesus said, well, let's look at it right here in John chapter 6. You're over there, aren't you? In verse 63. Jesus said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said that his words are spirit and his words are life. Now, whose image and likeness have we been created in? God and Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. Isn't that what the Bible says? 1 Corinthians 6:17, that means if you're in union with the Spirit of Jesus and His words are spirit words and His words are life-causing words, then your words are spirit words and your words are life-causing words. Your words can also be death-causing words. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, behold, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose what words you're going to speak, that thou and thy seed may live. He tells, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing, but I strongly advise you to choose life. Choose words of life. That thou and thy seed. He gives you two choices, and then he even recommends, being such a good father, take the life words, kids, not the death words. Because the words you choose are going to come to pass in your life. Amen. We're talking about angels. Amen. Jesus is our example in all things. From our inner man come forth words, Jesus said, that not only change us on the inside, causing us to see ourselves the way God wants us to see ourselves according to His Word, but from our spirit, men, come forth words that change our world on the outside as well. Amen? Didn't Jesus say in Mark 11:23, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, which is symbolic of human problems. Mountains are symbolic of human problems throughout Scripture. You read that in Zechariah chapter 4. Amen. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain of human problems, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, not his head. Doubt's always going to come to your head. Amen. Just don't let it get down in your heart by speaking it when you hear it come into your head. Shall not doubt in his heart that those things which he saith, not prayeth, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. As long as it's legal, moral, and scriptural. Amen. We're not first graders around here. We understand what he's talking about. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, meaning you'll know what the word says if you spend time in the word, you can ask what you will. It'll be done for you. If you abide in His Word and His Word abides in you, you're going to know what God's agreed to do and what God hasn't agreed to do and what you can say and what you cannot say and expect it to come to pass. Anybody, you following this? Okay. Are you, Barbara? You get anything out of this? Barbara could stand up here and preach this. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 10. The only way we're going to operate in the spirit realm is to speak spirit words. Amen? Now, granted, we have to walk in love. We've been learning that on Wednesday nights. The Lord put it on my heart to teach that series on mountain moving love, because without mountain moving love, you're not going to have mountain moving miracles or mountain moving faith. Of course, you have to walk in love. Faith comes by
hearing.
Faith works by
love.
Faith is released through the
mouth.
Oh, that's good. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17. Faith works by love, Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith which worketh by love. And then faith is released through the mouth right here in Romans chapter 10. If you look at verse 8, it says, Paul said, by the agency of the Holy Spirit, but what saith it? What saith what? The Bible. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now he's talking about salvation here. But the same way that we get saved, by confessing with our mouths and believing in our hearts that God rose Jesus from the dead, is the same way we're going to receive anything from God from that point on. By believing in our hearts and saying the promises of God through the words of our mouths. Amen. You see where we're going with these verses right here today. We're making application of the Word of God concerning putting the angels of God to work for us through the words of our mouths. It's correction time again. I've been hearing little murmurings of good preaching. Too bad there aren't more people there. Wrong answer. Amen. The right thing to say is good preaching. Thank you, Father God, that these chairs are filled with people who need revelation of your word. Ding, 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 ding. Right answer. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, we were talking about the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. Amen. Here Paul also, as well as Jesus, stressing the importance of words in the life of the believer. Amen. I was saying words not only work for us on the inside to change our image, so we begin to see ourselves the way God sees us, but words work on the outside to change our outward circumstances. Amen? And one of the ways that our words change outward circumstances is as we commission, the angels of God are listening for our words to give them authority to apply kingdom principles on our behalf, to cause them to go into operation on our behalf. If we will commission the angels of God simply by saying, angels, go! Is it your finances? Fix my finances in Jesus' name. Go fix my family according to the precious, holy, written word of God. Whatever it is you release them to do, as long as it's legal, moral, and above all scriptural, they will search the avenues of God's wisdom, looking for ways to bring your words to come to pass even while you're sleeping in the middle of the night. They're tireless. They appear to need no rest. I'm passing a law in here today. You have to smile from this point on. You have to smile from this point on. Come on, everybody, give me a big old smile. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the one I was waiting for back there. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? How many of you know that the Bible says when the enemy comes in, like a flood, God will raise a standard up against him? The Bible doesn't say when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. The Bible says when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, God will raise a standard up against him. The way that God raises a standard up against Satan and demon powers is through the very words of our mouths. That's how he does it. Through the very words of our mouths. Amen. Our angels are listening for our words during crisis in non-crisis situations. Amen. They hearken to the voice of God's word as it's released through the believer's mouth. Nothing I do ever works. I'll never have anything. My family never had anything. I'm probably bound to have nothing either. I'll never get healed. I tried that faith stuff. It don't work. Oh, you did? You tried it? The Bible didn't say try it. The Bible said do it. Didn't say it'll work if you try it. It says it'll work if you do it. Amen? Good preaching. Too bad more people aren't there. We don't want to be talking that way. Amen? Because the angels stand there saying, okay, I had a load coming in next week, but you don't want it? I can't do it. Amen? We're in agreement in here, aren't we? Good preaching, the seats are filled. God said to me, you take care of the filled seats, I'll take care of the empty ones. I said, yes, sir, can I get your beverage while I'm up? That's his responsibility. But let's not speak against it. Terry sat behind me 2 weeks ago and she said these words, the people will come. The people will come. Everybody say, Terry, be blessed. See, she gets a public blessing for speaking words of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. You know why Jesus had to have a physical body to come into this earth? You know, Hebrews 10:5, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said by the agency of the Holy Spirit, he said, but thou, O God, hast prepared a body for me. That's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Thou, O God, has prepared a body for me. Why did God prepare a body for Jesus? Why did Jesus have to have a body to come into this earth? Because God gave authority over this earth to a living, breathing human being, a man, Adam, and then his wife, Eve. And only human beings, now flesh beings, in flesh physical bodies, have authority in the earth because of that. Now, granted, Adam gave it to the devil. Jesus came to take it back from the devil. But the only way Jesus could take it back from the devil was to get into a human body and come down here and do it as a man. God gave it up to a man. A man gave it away. Only a man could take it back. God couldn't just snatch it back and give it to Adam. He gave complete and absolute authority in this earth to Adam. Adam gave it to the devil. Only a man could come and take it back. And that's why he had to get into a body. That's why you've got to have a belly button to live here. Amen? Angels don't have bodies. They have no authority in the earth. Other than what we... Well, I should say, they have extremely limited authority in the earth. Other than what we give them through the words of our mouths. We're the ones in authority. We're the ones with bodies. They have spirit bodies of a different materiality than our bodies, but their spirit bodies are not physical flesh and blood bodies. They have no authority here. We have authority. We must commission them. We can delegate power of attorney and tell them to go to work for us. That's what they've been given to us for. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? Jesus came here to destroy the works of the devil, amen? But he had to get into a body to do it. The angels of God are here in the earth. They traveled back and forth, as a matter of fact. Jacob saw them coming up and down stairs. Jesus told Nathanael, from now on you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And you know because he said it, they saw it, amen? Zechariah saw them come out of heaven in chariots of fire. With spirit horses, spirit angels, spirit chariots coming back and forth in and out of the earth. Zechariah chapter 6 says that the angels of God ride spirit chariots and spirit horses throughout the earth from the north to the south. You ought to go read it in Zechariah chapter 6. And they take up reports across the earth to bring back to the throne room of God and to keep God informed of current events going on in the earth. That's in Zechariah chapter 6. Now, we're talking about angels, but seeing that we're over in Zechariah chapter 6, I think it would be nice to tell you in Zechariah chapter 1 that there's all the scriptural evidence you need to know that your Father God rides horses. God rides horses. That's like, boom, when I first said heaven's a planet, and everybody's eyes bugged. But I showed you from the Word of God, heaven is a planet. Amen. Zechariah chapter 1, 8 and 9. That man who came riding on a spirit horse to speak to the prophet Zechariah was the Lord. It was God, the Father. God rides spirit horses in heaven. You know why I like horses? Because my Father likes horses. I got it from him. You go read that in Zechariah chapter 1, in verse 8 and verse 9. You realize a verse of Scripture we're all acquainted with, at least Zechariah 4, 6. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Do you know that God said that to Zechariah while he was standing beside a myrtle tree holding the horse he had just ridden in on? Yeah! It's all right to do that in church. Amen? I'm not saying he's a cowboy, but I'm saying he rides horses in heaven. Amen? You ought to read all of Zechariah's book. Amen? There's 10 dynamic prophecies in there, revelation of Israel in the last days. But there you'll find all the evidence that you need. That God rides spirit horses, Jesus rides spirit horses, and the angels of God ride spirit horses. They go back and forth from heaven to planet earth. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 68:17 that the chariots of God are 20,000, and thousands of angels travel with God in His entourage, His presidential motorcade, so to speak. 20,000 chariots accompany God when He decides to go out with the motorcade. Thousands of angels, Psalm 68:17, and the Lord is in the midst of them. There's angels in this room right now. You don't have to see them to know that they're there. I've been saying lately, I've had no less than 8 visitations of angels in my life. It's now 10. I had to get corrected because of the 2 angels that Barbara and I saw at Dowsers Beach in Osterville, Massachusetts, on March the 13th. One appeared, and another one, I'm sorry, on the 15th. The 13th and 15th, 2008, I've had no less than 10 visitations of angels. You may see them, you may not see them. Someone in this room will see angels. That's what's in my spirit. When? I don't know. But I'm talking by the Spirit of God. Some in this room will have visitations of angels in your life. That you'll see, I'm talking about. We all have visitations of angels that we don't see if we release them with the authority that God has given us. But there are those in this room who will see angels in their midst. Jimmy? Who could it be? I don't know. Just stay right with God. Keep walking with God. Keep walking in love. Amen? Whether you see them or not, you can commission them and you can know they're out there working for you. Amen? Myriads upon myriads. The Bible says that they're innumerable, the angels of God. Now, hallelujah. Father, you just show me where to go. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Thank you. That's good. Amen. We'll go there. Angels of God, they're your bodyguards in this earth. They're extremely intellectual. They operate in all the gifts of the Spirit. Do you know that? The angels of God operate in all the same 9 gifts of the Spirit that we do. There's evidence of that in the Scripture. Isn't that fascinating? The angels of God operate in the power gifts, revelation gifts. And yes, even in the utterance gifts. Pastor, are you telling me angels speak in tongues? I heard them. I had an angel appear to me and speak in a language, a fluid, oily language. I don't know how else to describe it. Amen. Paul said when he went into heaven, he saw things that were unlawful to utter. Meaning they defied every law of human understanding. Not that they were against the law. They defied the laws of human understanding. I had 2 angels appear to me. One of them spoke to me in a language I never heard in my life. It was like tongues, but it was more fluidy and just beautiful. And I understood every word he said to me. Supernaturally, by the Spirit of grace, by the Spirit of God. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of... If I don't walk in love, I'm the big fat zero with the rim knocked off. Angels speak in tongues, amen. They understand all human languages. They're supremely intellectual. They operate in all the gifts of the Spirit. They have tremendous knowledge of you, your life, and your needs, and your family. They have tremendous knowledge of you. They have tremendous knowledge of God the Father. Tremendous knowledge of God the Son. Tremendous knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Tremendous knowledge of humanity. Tremendous knowledge of themselves and their own government and their own kingdom. Tremendous knowledge of Satan and demon powers. Tremendous knowledge of current and future world events. They're supernaturally intellectual. They're not all knowing. They're not omniscient. Only God is. But they have supreme intellect. And they're well acquainted with you. Your angels are well acquainted with you and what you need. But you've got to tell them, go and perform the will of God on my behalf. We do it regularly. Not twice a year. Not just for 3 days after the pastor teaches on angels. And then we go back into our shell again. I know just people in this room, I hear you do it all the time. You talk to angels, I understand that. Amen? But there are some who don't, and you need to get better at it. Just commission them. Go, go, go. Fix my finances. Fix my family. Provide that organ. Provide that doctor. Provide that car. Amen? Now, they can't bring it to you, but they can cause it to come to pass. You can't say, angels, bring me money. Where in the Bible do you ever see an angel bring somebody money? But they can cause your circumstances to be such that money will come. They can influence it and cause it to come to you. Everyone say, angels, fix my finances. Increase me. In Jesus' strong name. Where did I ask you to go? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. Let's pick it up. But to which of the angels said he, God, at any time? Everybody happy in this place? Have I still got friends in here today? Amen? You're not talking to me? Have I got any friends in here today?
Amen.
Okay, half of you still like me. Have I got any friends in here today? Thank you, amen. Hallelujah. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit in my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool? To none of them. He only said that to Jesus and to us in Jesus. Are they not all ministering spirits? Spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Talking about the ministry of angels, lest at any time we should let them slip. Paul's saying, don't let the ministry of angels get away from you. For if the word spoken by angels, or that's actually saying if the law given by angels, or write this down on the back of your notes or in your bulletin. Let me just give you a revelation before we go. Do you know when Moses went up on the mountain to get the law from God, that it was actually given to him, not by God, but by angels? No matter what Charlton Heston showed us on the Ten Commandments being etched with lightning, and I love Charlton, and I'm sorry that he's in heaven for his family, but I'm glad he made it. I'm a Charlton Heston fan, but don't get me wrong, in the Ten Commandments, that's not how it happened. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2 says there were 10,000 of angels present when the law was given to Moses. Write it down. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2. Look it up as your homework. Amen. The Bible also says in Galatians 3:19 and in Acts 7:53 that the law was actually given to the Hebrew people by angels. Now, they did it by commission of God. But God didn't carve those Ten Commandments with lightning from his fingertip. Amen. The angels of God gave it to Moses. That's what it says in Deuteronomy 33:2, Galatians 3:19, and Acts chapter 7, verse 53. The law was given by angels. For if the law given by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He's saying here, still talking about the ministry of angels, how will we escape the evils that are in this earth if we neglect the ministry of angels the way Israel neglected the ministry of the angel in the wilderness, which we're going to look at in a minute here. Amen? If we neglect so great a salvation, or if we neglect the ministry of angels. It actually says if we make light of the ministry of angels. Amen? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard them, God also bearing them in the wilderness witness, with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Spirit according to his will. And he still does this today. Amen. Listen, the angels of God, Paul is saying here, have been sent into the earth to minister for you supernaturally and naturally. Amen. Paul says, how will we escape the evils in this earth if we neglect the ministry of angels? That word, if we neglect so great a salvation, is not just talking about being saved in our spirits. It's talking about, if the word is soteria, and it's a reference to every realm of our existence, the angels of God will minister to us if we don't neglect their ministry. Hallelujah. Go to Exodus chapter 23. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Supernatural deliverance is available to us through the ministry of angels, but only if we put them to work. Amen? And as you're going to Exodus chapter 23, let me tell you, never pray to angels or worship angels if they appear to you. Amen? John did that in the book of Revelation, and the angel rebuked him and said, "Get up from there, man! I'm a fellow servant, brethren, just like you. Worship God." We don't worship angels, but we can commission angels to go to work on our behalf. It's a very simple thing to do. Go. Go. Go in Jesus' strong name and fix whatever needs to be fixed. Protect whoever needs to be protected. Amen. I'm going to say it again before we read in Exodus chapter 23. If we don't give voice to God's word, or if we speak crosswise and contrary to God's word, they cannot act on our behalf. You can't be saying things like, "We'll never get out of debt now. We're probably going to lose the house too." You can't talk that way and expect them to help you. You can't stand beside the car pumping gas and saying, "I swear to God, every time the prices go up, my blood pressure goes up." You can't do that. Shouldn't use God's name that way anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. You just watch. This economy's going down, baby. We're going with it. We don't talk that way. Amen? That binds the angels of God. Amen? That's voicing the words of Satan. And that provokes the angels of God. That provokes them because now they know you just took their authority away and gave it to the devil. You can provoke your angels. Exodus chapter 23. We're going to have to go kind of quickly here. Because the devil came in, interrupted, and confirmed my calling. Exodus 23, verse 20. Amen. Say amen if you're there. Amen. "Behold," God said, speaking to Israel in the wilderness, "I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I've prepared, the promised land." That's what angels do. They bring us into the places God prepares for us. "But beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not." See, you can provoke your angels. "For he will not pardon your transgression." You say something, you're going to get it, and nothing he can do about it. "For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak," in our case it would be according to the written word of God, "I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I'll cut them all off." Those were races of giants, by the way. And God said, "I'll send you right up against them if you'll follow the angel, commission the angel, do as the angel instructs, follow him as he leads you, we'll wipe them all out, and we'll take you right into the promised land." And they said, "We can't, we're like grasshoppers in that sight." They provoked the angel. Amen? We don't want to do that. We can provoke our angels and cause them to stop working for us. Amen? God said, "An angel will go before you and bring you to the place which I have prepared." God doesn't prepare a place for you with the intention of you never arriving. Amen? That's the land of promise. We all have a land of. That's the land that flows with milk and honey. Amen? God promises that we will spend days of heaven on earth as well in our own promised lands. But we're going to have to commission the angels of God. Those people, God sent that angel to take them there. But you know what happened? Through constant murmuring, they wandered aimlessly and they died needlessly. Everybody, after 40 years of wandering, everybody 20 years older and up died. Even though the angel was sent to take them right into the land of promise, everyone from 20 years old up and up never made it because they murmured and complained constantly, which led to wandering aimlessly and dying needlessly. And the angel of God was sent right there to take them into the promised land. But they wouldn't cooperate. They neglected the ministry of the angel. Get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. Look it over, Genesis chapter 24. We're going to just have to move quickly. Amen. Say, "I'm not a murmurer. I'm not a wanderer.
Not a wanderer.
And I'm not dying needlessly."
I'm not dying needlessly.
Angels of God,
go.
Take me to my promised land.
In Jesus' strong name.
And you don't even have to shout like I do. You can just tell them. See, the power's in the name. Go. In Jesus' strong name. You have permission. You have authority to bring me to my promised land. And while you're at it, get my family in there too. In Jesus' strong name. You can tell them that, and if you'll expect. Hallelujah. We have a personal friend who needed $300,000 in 3 days, a pastor. He's getting thrown out of his building. An angel appeared to him. Two in his office. Some of you, I told this on Wednesday night. He said he looked at it just standing there. They're all dirty and all banged up like they've been fighting. Not amongst themselves. Amen. Against Satan and demon powers in the spirit realm. And he looked at them and it spooked him. And he said, what do you want? And they said, we've come to fix your finances. And all he said was, go do it in Jesus' name. He said, I was thinking, what are you standing there for? They came for permission. That was on a Saturday. On Monday, he needed to be out of his building. He was going to lose his lease, and all they were leasing it with an option to buy it. And all the money was just going to be taken from him. He was just going to lose it. A man walked up to him the following Monday, came into his office, went up to the secretary's desk. She called this brother in his office and said, brother so-and-so is here. He wants to see you. And this minister thought, oh, Lord, he's the last thing in the world I need. They didn't like each other. He said, send him in. Send him in. The guy walked in the office and put down two checks on his desk equaling $300,000. And he said, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I don't like your preaching. But there's two men who have been in my room for a week. And they won't leave me alone till I do this. $300,000. He came back. How long later? Weeks later. I was going to say about a month later. That guy showed up in the service. Now they're in the building now. They didn't lose the building, but they still had to pay the building. They still owed $1.5 million on it. But at least they didn't have to get out and lose everything that they had put into it. They had remodeled the building. Approximately a month later, I'm going to say, that man showed up in one of the services, and there was a guest speaker speaking. And this brother, who saw the angels, who was the pastor of the church, is sitting in the front row. And the guest speaker pointed at a man in the back row and he said, you, God's called you to help this church. And this brother up front, the pastor looked back and he went, oh no, that's the man that already helped the church. Oh no, what's he going to think now? And the man said, I know, I'll do it. He turned around the following week, went back in and gave him a check for $1.5 million and paid the building off for him. He said, I'm tired of those men in my room. He was a single guy, a very wealthy young man. That's what the angels of God will do for you and for us, if necessary. Remember, we have to keep believing. We have to keep speaking. We have to keep unleashing expectation. Don't provoke them with negative words. It's never going to happen. We're going to lose it all. We're going to lose it all. And that kid of mine is going to wrap that cow around a tree one day. And the angel says, nothing I can do there. Amen? Just watch what we say. Jesus said it, not me. Amen? Go over there if you would real quick. Genesis chapter 24. Oh, praise be to God. We'll get through these. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Joshua. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Are you there in Genesis 24? Abraham was old in verse 1. We'll just read it. Say amen if you're there. Abraham was old and well stricken in age. He's 140 years old. Does that give anybody in here hope? Blessings of Abraham are ours. I say go for it. Amen. Told you a couple of weeks ago, don't start giving your stuff away. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Just like Barbara taught us during the offering. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health. Even as your soul prospers. Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, Eleazar was his name, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. It's a sign of covenant. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. We won't go into who the Canaanites were, but Abraham didn't want Isaac to have a son from amongst the Canaanites. Amen? They were impure stock, and God was moving on Abraham to preserve the seed that Jesus would come through, the genealogy he would come through. Among whom I dwell, he's sending his servant out to get a wife for Isaac. Thou shalt go into my country. Don't go to the Canaanites. Go to my original homeland, to my kindred. Take a wife for my son Isaac.
And the servant said, peradventure, what happens if the women would not be willing to follow me back into this land, Abraham? Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Should I take Isaac back out to her if she won't come with me? Abraham said, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. See, Abraham doesn't know if he's going to die before the guy gets back. He lived another 35 years. Don't bring my son there. Bring the woman here. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, he doth swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before you, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. He was in covenant with God. He understood he had a covenant with God. And he knew that God would send an angel to lead the servant directly to the woman without complication. And that's exactly what happened in the next chapter. He knew his covenant rights. He knew his covenant authority. He said, God will send his angel. You can say it that way if you want to. God will send his angel and protect and provide for me in Jesus' name. Listen, we got a better covenant than Abraham. The Bible says in Hebrews 8:6 that Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant established upon better and more excellent promises. If those angels hearken to the voice of Abraham, how much more will they hearken to the voice of you? You're covered with the blood. He was covered with animal blood. It works rather effectively for him too. It will be even more effective for you if you get up and do it. Amen. Go over to 2 Kings if you would. Amen. We got a better covenant. Amen. We got the keys of the kingdom. Abraham didn't. We got the power of binding and loosing. Abraham didn't. I just want you to know I'm glad to be here today. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just glad to be here. Amen? I just want the devil to know that I'm glad God sent me here. Even though he said to me, you weren't my first choice. Not that I thought I was. He said, there's seven more that I sent before you. Some of them didn't even bother coming. Others came and left. I don't care what number I am. Although eight's a good number, isn't it? Hallelujah. I'm here to stay. Amen? I'm not going to be the one run out of here. I just want you to know that. I'm just pleased as punch to be up here today and to talk to you about the ministry of angels. Amen? And I am unmoved about what was going to happen in here again today because it didn't happen. Amen? Now I love and I bless and I forgive. Hallelujah. But I'm a shepherd and I got sheep to protect. Amen. And when I got to tell the wolf to go, I'll tell the wolf to go. Amen? Are you there? I'm just kind of talking to you as you turn over there. You've been over there for a while, haven't you? 2 Kings chapter 6. Hallelujah! Real quick, the king of Syria in verse 8 warred against Israel. Are you there in verse 8?
Yeah.
Glory to God, we get time to read this one. The king of Syria warred against Israel. He took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp, or we'll camp over here and we'll attack Israel from there. And the man of God, Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such and such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. Every time the king of Syria planned an attack, in this case, at this time, against Israel, God told Elisha, the prophet. Elisha, go tell the king of Israel and say, move the troops, they're coming this way. What is that? What is that gift? That's the word of wisdom. It's a combination of word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Amen? Amen? Tell them where they are so he could move and avoid the attack. So the king of Israel, in verse 10, sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself, or moved the troops, not once or twice, but three times. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He said, what in the world's going on? He called his servants and said, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Which of you is an informer? Who's ratting me out here? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that's in Israel. He's telling the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Who? It's the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And he said, go and spy out where he is. The king said, go get him, that I'm in, send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, well, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and encompassed the city about. And when the servant, Gehazi, of the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, he went out in the morning. Behold, an host of Syrians encompassed the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to Elisha, alas, my master, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're surrounded with the chariots and troops of Syria. And he answered, first thing we're going to do is get out of fear. Say, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. That would include angels, because the angels ride those chariots. Round about Elisha, he opened his eyes through what spiritual gift? He was able to see into the spirit realm. Discerning of spirits. God opened his eyes. Amen. Look at Elisha made a faith declaration in verse 16 when he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha's servant probably thought, what in the world is this fool thinking now? Can't he see there's two of us and tens of thousands of them? Thousands of soldiers and chariots and horses surrounding the two of us. And he says, there's more who are with us than those who are with them. But once his eyes get open, he saw what Elisha was talking about. Listen, your eyes don't have to be open to know that they're there. They are there. Psalm 68, 17. The chariots of God are 20,000 over even 1,000 of angels, and the Lord travels with them. Amen. God provided supernatural. If you go and you read the rest of that account, God delivered them in that situation. There's no time to go into it. But he used the angels of God to deliver them from that situation. You are surrounded with the angels of God. No less than two, probably upwards of 6,000, depending on what your need is. Jesus said on the night he was betrayed, do you not know that I could call right now and the Father would send 12 legions, 12 times 6, 72,000 angels and deliver me from this stinking mess? But if I did, your troubles would endure. Amen? My point is, the angels of God are available. You see it right here in Scripture. You see it in Abraham's life. You see it in Elisha's life. Amen? And again, some people pray the most consecrated, beautiful prayers over their babies. Oh God, bless this precious child that you gave me. Accompany, preserve, and defend him. And all of his ways, watch over him now, angels of God, in Jesus' strong name. And then they turn around and they say, get that ball in the backyard. If it goes out in the street, you'll follow it and get killed. You got to choose one or another. God said, I place before you this day life and death, Deuteronomy 30:19, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Choose words of life that thou and thy seed may live. Amen. Uncontrolled, undisciplined, loose talk can bring needless tragedy right to your doorstep. Tragedy you could have prevented. Amen. Tragedy you can prevent. Amen. Angels want, let's stand up. Angels want very much to get involved with our lives, our finances, our business, our ministries, our family, in every realm of our existence. And they can get the job done. The angels of God are not hindered by nature. They're not hindered by natural physical circumstances. They have no natural physical in this realm limitations. They are unlimited what they can do in this realm. Our laws of nature are subject to the angels of God. We see that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Into the fire the angel went, unhindered. Amen. We say that with Daniel in the lion's den. There were hundreds of lions in the lion's den. One angel, Daniel said, God sent his angel. And everything's copacetic down here now. Amen? They're unhindered by our natural laws. They can override our laws of nature and perform supernaturally. Amen? They get Peter out of jail supernaturally. They just look at the prison doors and they clang open. Next one, clang open. Next one, clang open without touching it or speaking a word. Somehow they have ability in our natural realm. They recognize our authority in the natural realm. And they wait for us to commission them. There's over 300 references to angels in the Bible. 104 of them visiting human beings. 26 of them guiding, warning, or revealing something to human beings. They have tremendous knowledge, as I said, of the Trinity, of one another, demon powers, current and future events, you, your family, your needs, your loved ones, your likes, your dislikes, your desires, what God has called you to do. They have tremendous knowledge. They're not omniscient, only God's omniscient, but they are tremendously intellectual. But Paul said in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, we're going to make a little faith confession, then we're going to close. He said, even if an angel of God appears to you and preaches to you, even if an angel of God, Paul said, approaches you and teaches you any doctrine other than that which I have taught you, if an angel approaches you and begins to speak against the precious, holy, written word of God, Paul said, let him be accursed. They will not perform against the precious, holy, written word of God. They will not lead you to go against the word of God. And if I might, in closing, before we make our little faith confession here, angels of God in the Bible always appear in white. Always appear in white. So if anybody comes to you dressed otherwise, begin to question them immediately. Amen? I had an angel appear to me. I told the story a short while back, and I know that it's time to go. We're actually ahead of the game right here today. Amen? And he was the most beautiful, sparkling thing I ever saw. Multicolored gown, sparkling in the night. I had just been saved. I crawled up to the head of my bed, man. That frightened me, and I pulled the blanket up over me, and I just looked at him at the foot of my bed, and he was holding my little brother. And I thought, it's an angel, sparkling, glistening, beautiful thing, supernatural creature. Looked kind of human, but not human. I knew it was an angel of some sort, frightened me. And he was holding my brother, and my brother was crying. And then suddenly another one appeared beside him. And he didn't have on the multicolored, sparkling gown that this one had on. He had on glistening white. Everything about him was pure white. And all of a sudden, as beautiful as I thought that first angel was that was holding my brother, that other one made him look ugly as sin. And I realized the background of his garment, behind the lights and the color and the iridescent purples and greens and blues and reds I was seeing, it was a black background. His gown was black, not white. And I didn't know at that time. I came to discover years later that angels in Scripture are always dressed in white. That one in the white looked at the multicolored one that was holding my brother. My brother was crying. And that thing just, I saw the look of fear come over his face. And he gave that little baby with my brother's face on it to the white angel, the angel that was of God, and the multicolored ugly one that I initially thought was beautiful. Till I saw the real. I realized that's a counterfeit. He just gave my brother to that angel and he disappeared. I led my brother to the Lord about a year and a half later, and I've never seen him again. That was over 25 years ago. I never saw my brother again. I don't know where in the world he is, but if he's not in this world, he's in heaven. Amen? Angels in Scripture are always dressed in white. Any angel that I've seen in the form of an angel or in the form of a man, a giant man, always had white clothing on when I saw them in that personhood. So you want to keep that in mind. Amen? Say, the Spirit of Truth is in me. I'm blessed in the city. See, we're going to undo some things that some of us have done in the spirit realm before we leave this morning. And it's only going to take a minute. Amen? I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed in my bank accounts. In my finances. In everything I set my hand to. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I am the head. I am not the tail. I am above. I am not beneath. I am blessed and not cursed. I bind every word that I have spoken unintentionally that released the devil. I bind every hindering force that I've ever empowered by the words of my mouth. I repent for falling short when it comes to the ministry of angels. I commission them now to turn my circumstances around in Jesus' name. Father God, give me wisdom to watch my mouth. I am the body of Christ. The enemy has no power over me unless I give it with my mouth. Angels of God, you have the green light. Bring me to my promised land. Bring my family to the promised land. Bring me to the place that God has prepared especially for me. Cause increase to come. Cause long life to come. Influence laborers to go to my family to preach the gospel. I will never again neglect the ministry of angels. Angels, go. 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 And perform the natural and the supernatural on my behalf. God has given you charge over me. Now keep me in all my ways. Bear me up and keep me from stumbling. In Jesus' strong name. Now I say over you, Satan is bound. The angels of God are loosed. God is exalted. And Jesus Christ is Lord of everything that concerns you. In Jesus' strong name. Amen.